What's up? It's Dawson Gamble, and you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM.
Hello, you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario. Welcome to the Release Radar Rundown, brought to you in partnership with the Kingston Music Office. I'm Dinah Jansen. This program features smoking hot local singles released right here in Kingston, Ontario that have been featured in the weekly Release Radar series. Local artists can get in on the action with social media promotion and airplay on CFRC's channels by completing the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. This week, we've got another fun special episode for you featuring a conversation with local rapper Jacques Dupel, a.k.a. Dupel, and rapper-producer Nathan Amy, a.k.a. N98, about their collaborative D98 debut album entitled Port of Montreal. Inspired by their time visiting the city through the past couple of years, the release shows off the complex dichotomy of life as hopeful and rising rap artists. Throughout, brilliant explosions of creativity meet bleak portrayals of mental health struggles. Oversaturated confidence is paired with the grays of insecurity and trauma. At the end of the day, Port of Montreal reflects who D98 are as people, using Montreal's gritty yet creative art and architecture as a metaphor, but created by Kingston folks ready to uplift the rap music scene right here at home. We'll have a chat with them and listen to a couple of spins off the new release. Let's dive into a great conversation. Welcome and enjoy. All right, guys, welcome back to CFRC, Jacques Dupel, and we also have Nathan Amy of D98 here in the CFRC virtual studio. Guys, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
All right, so Dupel and N98, as you're both known professionally, love to hear about your work individually before we talk about your work collaboratively and your new upcoming album. Nathan, N98, can we start with you?
Yeah, for sure. All right, so I am a local in Kingston. I do a lot of photography. I do a lot of music. I do stuff like that. Been doing a lot of this stuff for around 7 years now. I don't actually have any solo music out yet, which is what I kind of think makes this project unique, because Jacques and I kind of came together as a duo before I started to release my own music.
So tell us a little bit more about what attracted you to doing rap music, but also the production for it and how you got involved.
Yeah, I've always been pretty fascinated in like production and how like individual sounds and instruments come together to kind of create like a whole sound. And yeah, I just spent about 5 or 6 years building up a music studio, just kind of making music on my own and just studying and, you know, researching a lot of stuff and just trying to understand different sounds and stuff like that, if that kind of makes sense.
Right. And did you do some like fun experimentation? Like, was this something that you were really into when you were a really young kid and listening to rap music? And, oh, how do I make this kind of beat? Or how do I do these loops and stuff? How did you learn how to do the stuff that you know how to do?
Definitely. Yeah, it was all self-taught, you know, watching YouTube videos, kind of referencing from other people. Growing up, I had a lot of different music to listen to. I had my stepdad's side, which was like rock and roll, kind of metal. Mm-hmm. And then I had my mom's side, which was like a lot of rap, kind of more singing type stuff. And I found that kind of influenced, like, it made me respect all types of different sounds and genres and stuff like that. And it kind of allowed me to bring them all together and kind of have an interest for everything, if that makes sense.
So who's in your playlist? Who are the hot go-tos that have always sort of been there and will always be?
That's a hard one. I would definitely say people like, you know, if we're talking metal, we're talking Metallica. If we're talking rock, probably Billy Talent. You could say Nirvana. You know, rap, Eminem. Eminem was pretty big back in the day. For me.
So you're like 6 years old and listening to that first Eminem album.
Well, exactly. Yeah, it wasn't like the greatest, probably wasn't the greatest thing to listen to, but it really really made you think. And I mean, I didn't really understand a lot of the lyrics or what they were saying, but I really liked the sound. And I remember actually listening to those songs as like a 7-year-old or 6-year-old. I didn't even know what they were saying half the time, but it just sounded good, you know?
Absolutely, for sure. Thank you so much, Nathan N98. All right, Jacques Dupel, aka
Yes.
Dupel. Dude, you've been on the station before. Love having you back again. Thanks so much for joining us. Remind our listeners who may not have caught up with you last time you were on the airwaves with us. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your work as an artist and, going back to, when you started getting interested in doing rap music too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a pleasure to be on here. I always love supporting local radio. It's always a great time to be here. I think for people who don't know me, my name is Dupel. I'm a local rapper, born, raised, and currently based out of Kingston, Ontario. I'm as close to a townie as you can get. I've lived here my whole life, and a lot of the stories based off of that I base my music off of are Kingston stories, stories about people, stories about experiences I've had. I've been doing this for, golly, 7 years now, I want to say. My first official like mixtape in quotations, I released in August 2019, but I did a lot of freestyling with my friends just as jokes. In high school, and a lot of like, a lot of what we would call meme rapping. So just joke raps that don't really make any sense, that are just a bunch of adolescent dudes making jokes with each other. But there was definitely, I've always had a love and appreciation for storytelling. I remember when I was 6, I kind of put 2 and 2 together that I could like write and draw my own storybooks. And so I did that for a while, and I always wanted to do something creative. I was set to go to school for film production, and that didn't work out as I had hoped. But there was always this sort of drive to do something with poetry or music. And in high school, my English teachers really pushed me out of my comfort zone to get me to do more public speaking and more poetry in terms of doing stuff that I didn't really know a whole lot about, but they sort of guided me into our different poets that I really enjoyed and still do really enjoy reading, as well as appreciating the more simple lyrics or poetry poems, such as Gord Downie is one of my favorite poets, and a lot of his is just super straight to the point, and there doesn't seem to be a whole lot there, but the more you sort of explore his reasoning behind things, you realize there's a lot more in between the lines. So that really kicked off my creative side of things, and I was never like growing up. Nate said that he had more, rap experience. And I know just talking with Nate that he was, into like Young Thug and stuff like that. And for a while, that's not even stuff that I had on my radar. Growing up, my dad played a lot of classic rock, a lot of folk, and like old country music. Some of my lullabies were like Irish Republican Army anthems or like Led Zeppelin. Things like that, like a lot heavier stuff, a lot more old school listening when I was growing up. And then once I sort of in high school, I met different types of people, different backgrounds, and sort of got immersed into different cultures. Coming from being in Amherst View, a lot of the only rap I was exposed to was like Mac Miller and Eminem, and that was really about it. So pretty much your basic suburban teenage boy music at the time in the early 2010s. But the more I sort of met people, the more I got to be introduced to artists like Kendrick Lamar, and Tyler the Creator, Thundercat, different artists that I've learned to really appreciate.
Thank you so much for that. I really liked where you were going with the conversation initially, where you were talking about poetry and the interest in poetry, and I really like the idea that rap itself is a form of poetry. How does that
Absolutely.
translate? How does that translate into your work as an artist, Dupel? And over to you after that, N98, Nathan.
So I mean, I think even still, even if it's 2026, like rap gets a lot of bad word of mouth for being like degenerate or simple or whatever. But that could be said about any sort of music genre, but I think rap in terms of its rhythmic qualities, it's very almost Shakespearean in a way where when Shakespeare wrote his plays and his sonnets and everything, you could read it as a book word for word, but it was written with rhythm in mind, and the way that characters speak and the way that dialogue occurs is very rhythmic and is very drum-like. And you know, if you want to think of singing as using the melodic side of music, you know, singing could be equated to like the piano or guitar. Rap would be just like the same thing, but with drums or with percussion, in the sense of it definitely falls harder on the beat. But in a way, I've written songs that are more melodic, and I've written songs that are more staccato and rhythmic heavy. And I find you can get a lot more of your message in just bass rapping. You know, if we're talking about someone like Nas, who is, you know, one of the all-time greats, or Andre 3000, who they're not spectacular singers. I don't know if they're exactly known for that, but they have such a way of just packing so much dense lyrical content into like a 3-minute song or a 16-bar verse. And it's like the storytelling that you can do with rap is almost like criminally underrated, in the sense of like there are certain circles where people, that's all people look for is the storytelling in rap. And that's great. But if you look at the more mainstream rap side of things, it can get lost on people that it's not all about vibes and whatever. And that's my wheelhouse, is definitely the storytelling aspect of things. But at the same time, rap is also important because that sort of vibey energy, there is a place for that. And there is a place for lyrics that don't necessarily have to be, you know, 16 bars of just motor mouth, just hamming it up, just going hard. Like you can do 16 bars where it's like you're bordering on singing. But the cool thing about rap is that it doesn't have to be as perfect as like a professional singer might be. It can be very raw. It's very punk in that aspect, where you listen to like Kendrick Lamar does a bunch of tracks where he sings and he's not a good singer by any sense of the word, but he can make it work. And like as bad of a rap that auto-tune gets, auto-tune creates an environment in the audio space that you just can't really get out of someone who's a professionally trained singer who's like, quotes, good at singing.
There's an interesting dichotomy there too between the lyrics versus the degree of talent in the vocals from the listening perspective. Sounds like,
Yes.
right. Okay, over to you, Nathan. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, rap is really cool because it's like it's kind of like a canvas, and you can imagine it's just like a creative playground, right? And you have the paintbrush, and you're free to do whatever. You know, there may be rules and guidelines, but you know, you can break them. And I think the cool part about it is breaking them, because then you're creating a new sound, you're experimenting, and that's kind of what makes it special to me. Like, I've never really been good at poetry or big into, like, reading and writing, like books and stuff. But, when I sit down and I get in the right energy or the right mood or the right vibe, I can kind of just flow. Like, I enter a flow state and it all kind of comes natural. So, yeah.
Thank you so much. Now, guys, I'd love to hear how you came to collaborate together. So, Jacques, you are Dupel in your own right, and Nathan, you are N98 in your own right. But then you came together and coalesced into this wonderful new act called D98. Over to you, Nathan. How did you come together?
Yeah, so I think the story behind that's pretty cool because I think the first time I met Jacques was at the Broom Factory.
That's
And
totally, you're right. That's true. I didn't even think about that.
exactly. And so basically at that time, that would have been maybe 2.5, maybe 3 years ago, I think. I think it was for Spring Reverb.
Nice, yeah.
But yeah, so I, again, just to circle back, I do a lot of photography and I pretty well do a lot of different genres. And at the time, I was going pretty heavy in like concert photography. And I think I was just there to take some shots of all the following acts for Spring Reverb. And yeah, Dupel ended up being there, made friends with him, made friends with a few other people. And I think from that point on, it was just, I reached out to him. I said, hey, I like your music. Would you want to do some stuff music wise? Do you want to do some photography, videography type stuff? And I think from there, it just kind of, spiraled in a good way.
All right, Jacques, want to add on to that?
As Nate was saying, I mean, that's funny how life works, because our biggest show to date is going to be at the Broom Factory, and we'll talk more about that later. But I met Nate. I think I was opening for Little Windex when
Oh, that was it. That was
that was the one. Long story short, I don't think it was a night I especially was having a great time being at. But it's funny how things like that, where if you feel like it's a bad day or you're not having the time you thought you might have, and then one little spark kickstarts a domino effect of 2 3 years of hard work. Like Nate said, he said he liked my music, and I think I specifically remember he really liked Snow in the Sleet, which we had just done a music video for. And so at that time, like I said, I've been doing solo stuff for about 7 years. So I think about that time I was 4 or 5 years into it. And I'm someone who's very protective of my art, and so bringing people into this was definitely a big leap of faith, I think, going from not knowing Nate, and then within the span of a couple months, we had a lot of interactions together. We were at Nate's house, working in his home studio in his bedroom together, and doing photography together as well. We just have a lot of the same shared interests. As I said, I went to film school for a little bit, so there's definitely some cross of he was very heavy into visual media and wanted to get started in audio media, and I was already several years deep into music, and I needed some more help with my photography and videography and stuff like that. And it's just how two puzzle pieces perfectly fit together. We eventually dropped an EP that we decided to call at the time D98, because it was a mix of our two artist names, the D coming from Dupel and 98 coming from his name and 98. And it was about 5 tracks, and it was put together within maybe a month and a half, a couple months, just of some stuff we had been working on. And I had at the time some more projects that I had been focused on, so it was sort of just like something fun for us to do on the side. And then we kind of just realized that we're really good together. And so we worked together on my most recent mixtape that I did last year, which was 2K Till Infinity, The Book of Carcosa. behind the scenes that was completely recorded, engineered, mixed and mastered at Nate's house. Nate did all the heavy lifting on that. I can't say enough good stuff about his not only just his production skills, but also his technical ability to make things sound good. And coming from someone like myself, I did all of my old mixes and masters on my own, sort of just reverse engineering stuff that I wanted to sound like. And like just working with him leveled up my game, fourfold. Like it was night and day. And so once 2K was done, or at least nearing the end of things, actually, another funny thing about the way life goes, that today, as the day we're recording this, July 21st, is a year to the date that myself, Nate, and our good friend Wilhound went to Montreal to see Tyler the Creator perform. And in 2 days, so not tomorrow, but the day after tomorrow, possibly when this is coming out, will be a year to the date that we conceptualized Port of Montreal as our debut project and came up with the idea of just using D98 as our duo name.
Yeah, if I could circle back a little bit. So the first original D98 album was something I just produced. That was
Oh,
great.
yes.
But to go so even before that, the first ever song I made that I produced was I think it was either Catarocuay Nights or Kawartha Downs
It
on the
was
Summer's
Kawartha
End.
Downs and Catarocuay Nights, something like that.
Yeah, and I remember Jacques, he messaged me. He's like, I want a song, or I want a beat that sounds like this and this type of mood, this type of energy. And I remember making something in maybe like an hour, sent it back to him, and he was like,
Nice.
this is perfect. And that was a very good feeling. And it just kind of from there just gave me this good boost. And I was like, okay, well, I want to make some more stuff and keep doing stuff. And then, yeah, so it's cool how I started out producing for him and making stuff. And now we're kind of working into something where I'm beginning to rap, I'm beginning to sing, we're actually making songs together now. So it's cool, full circle feeling.
Nice. Now, Nathan, tell us a little bit more about your setup too. So you're doing the production, and I'm thank you, Jacques, for filling us in here. Like you talked about being really protective of your artistry, and I assume Nathan, you may feel the same too.
Oh yeah.
But also, Nathan, you made the approach. Tell us more about what attracted you to Jacques' presence, his music, his the atmosphere he was creating in the space, that this is like, oh my gosh, this is a dude I want to work with. Tell us more and tell us how you factored that in with the production scene that you have in your space.
Definitely. Well, I think Jacques is very talented. I mean, just hearing the songs, the beat selection, the lyrics, the writing, like everything is just super, super impressing. And one thing I really do like about him is the cohesion. Everything he does is cohesive, it's thought out, it's planned together, it's put together. It's not just like a bunch of songs kind of slapped together. It's very conceptualized and thought out, and everything has a meaning behind it. And you can really see that in the music. And I think that's kind of something that really attracted me to his music and to working with him. Yeah.
Right. And then so you were asked to put something together, and within an hour, you got a sample back to him. So what do you have at home to make that happen, and how did you do it?
Right, so at the time, and I have actually like a fully sound treated home studio.
Nice, nice. All right, guys, thank you so much. That's a fantastic detail on the backstory of how the two of you came together to collaborate together. And now you have a brand new album coming out, like 20 tracks on this new album, Port of Montreal. All right, Jacques, over to you. Tell us first about the new album.
About a year ago this week, we noticed there's a lot of vibrant creativity in the air in Montreal, as well as a lot of, you know, grimy, gritty street energy. And I think that without us maybe realizing it at the time, that reflected us very well. You know, we're both very creative individuals who basically live and breathe this stuff. And I think also we are individuals who struggle with a lot of stuff in our personal lives, mentally, physically. It's not always sunshine and rainbows. And I think basically we tried to originally just make it as an EP, probably between 4 and 6 songs. And like you said, it spiraled in a good way into 20 songs. And if there's one thing I'm good at, it's completely taking an idea and going overboard with it. So
yep.
it was one of those things where for the better part of, by the time our album releases, it'll be about a year, year and a half ish since we sort of started making the beats and then eventually conceptualized the album. And then once my Book of Carcosa project came out, we basically locked in for months on this thing. To the point of exhaustion and mental distress. That's the story of all great creatives, I would say, is losing yourself in your art a little bit. But Port of Montreal became something that spoke to us on a deeper level rather than just the couple tracks we were going to put on it just for some vibes, just to throw stuff out there. It's basically like as much as we can, we put, you know, in the lyrics, the production, it's all us. It's as raw and unfiltered as we could get musically. And we took advantage of all of our resources. We tried to have all of our friends musically on there, as well as people that we really aspired to be like and to work with. We were able to get some very, very well-known people. Our song Pink Velvet features an artist named Black Sam, who in my own personal experience was someone that I tried to emulate a lot a few years back. And he's more popular online than he is, you know, in the mainstream, but he fits in a niche that I really enjoyed. And when I was going through a hard time, when I had lost one of my best friends who had passed away a few years ago, I don't know why or how I thought of it, but I shot Black Sam a message and I just said, you know, your music helps me a lot with stuff. I'd love to work with you sometime. And basically, he responded. He gave me some really good advice. And eventually, he was kind enough to help us out with Pink Velvet and, you know, give us some really good, really good lyrics to put on our project. And from there, we worked with Mercules, which was a really big shot in the dark. But, you know, me and Nate always able to use whatever sort of, you know, and any advantage that we can get, we are going to try and get it. And Nate will obviously, I'd assume, go into this in a bit more detail, but him doing concert photography, he has some good connections, and that really played to our benefit. And so it was a big undertaking and very ambitious, almost to a fault, where we've been really pushing hard to get this project to be as good and as perfect as it could be. And even if it has flaws, those flaws are our flaws. So in a way, Port of Montreal is more than the sum of its parts.
Nice. All right. Well, thank you for that. Over to you, Dathan. Your thoughts on the new album, its inspiration, and also some details into its production, too.
Yeah, I mean, the inspiration, kind of stems from like a lot of, kind of like Jacques said, a lot of different things we like, people, artists we like, but also it's really us. Like it's the thing I like about it is we didn't, pick an artist and be like, hey, we're gonna try and sound like them. And that's what I find happens a lot in the industry now. It's like people, they'll like Drake or they'll like Kendrick Lamar, so they start creating music like them. And while I think that's great, it's better to have your own sound and inspiration's great, but it's better to kind of be more authentic to yourself. And I think that really helps you stand out in a world of like, I don't want to say a lot of copycats or clones, but yeah, so we kind of assembled the Avengers for this one. We got a lot of features. Yeah. We got a lot of features. We got a lot of people in on it. We've included even just like special guests, like our friends, like just little samples of them talking. Or, I had a sample of my friend Zach who, we were just hanging out one night and he was talking and he was telling a story. So I started recording and, it ended up on the album, and I didn't even know it was going to end up on the album. So that's very cool.
Just something popped to mind as well. I think too, a lot of it is like us being Kingston-based artists. You might think that our first album would be Kingston themed, which, like no fault to anyone who would think that. That's very much so. That makes sense. But I think in a lot of ways we do speak a lot about Kingston in the album, even though it is called Port of Montreal. One of the big taglines is MTL to YGK. And in a way that it represents the touring loop that we had done earlier this year, where we did sort of the Ontario Quebec corridor. And so a lot of our time was spent traveling between Montreal and Kingston and Toronto and Ottawa. But as well, it speaks to us as artists and our ambitions, in terms of we want to be able to take our Kingston sound, this sort of our mythology that we sort of curate, and being a Kingston townie, we want to be able to take that to the next level and be able to represent Kingston in a bigger stage, like a city like Montreal. And as well, it might be obvious, it might not, but I'm from a French background. So for me personally, the city of Montreal is where my family's from. It's where my favorite sports teams play. Some of my favorite poets and musicians are from there, like Leonard Cohen and Kaytranada. And when I'm there, it feels like it's a home away from home. And so if I wanted to, at the time when we pitched it, I definitely, like talking to Nate about it, I wanted to take everything I loved about Montreal and see how we could match up to that, or how we could blend that in with everything that we like. And I know, speaking from Nate's background as a skateboarder, stuff stories he's told me, he spent a lot of time skateboarding in Montreal too. And all of that just meshed together really well.
So over to you, Nathan. Let's hear a little bit more about the production of the new
Yeah, so
album.
I would say the production was very intensive. It took, I think we produced our last song, or the last song we produced was probably 4 months ago, maybe, which is pretty close to the release date. But yeah, we spent a good year and a half making beats, just kind of planning them out. While we were producing, we kept in mind the story of the whole album, the bigger picture, and like how it would flow. How each song would kind of flow into the next song. And yeah, I think it's cool because the way we came up with things, we have a good variety of like, you know, love songs, hard rap songs, slower songs. We have dance songs. The album ended up being kind of Caribbean, Afrobeat, kind of dancey, which I think is cool because it's a very big like mixing pot and infusion of a bunch of different genres, and I think that's what kind of makes it so special.
Okay, thanks, guys. And now, just going back to you, Jacques, you were talking about Port of Montreal, your roots in Montreal, your family roots, and also just like a great music scene and a great poetry scene there, of course, in Montreal too. But I wonder if we can bring it back to the local scene and your thoughts from you first, Jacques, and over to you, Nathan, as well. Where's the local rap scene at, and what do you expect, or what do you hope that your new work will contribute to developing and uplifting the local rap scene?
Oh man, there's so much I could say.
That's a loaded question.
I think there's a couple different ways to approach it, and I think I would opt to approach it this time around from someone who's a fan of local rap as well as a local rapper. I think it's, to be completely honest, the local rap scene struggles. I love it dearly. I love it almost to death. I think it has its upsides, and I think it has its downsides as well. I think right now it's in a very transitionary phase where a lot of the rappers that in Kingston that I had listened to in high school and that I had worked with and partnered with earlier on in my career, a lot of them are getting older and settling down, so they might not be as active, which is all the power to them. I love them to death, and I think the passing of the torch is sort of at hand in terms of I've had a lot of, speaking personally, I've had a lot of growing pains in terms of, I wasn't always the best performer, and I learned a lot from the people that I respected and that came before me. And I think what I would like to usher in is a rap scene where people are unafraid to be themselves, unapologetically being themselves. I think there's a lot of trends, I would say, in terms of how shows happen in town or how music is created, that I would like the scene to stray away from or to branch out of, in terms of, myself, I'm a big believer of, if you have the drive to do something, do it yourself. I think, as awesome as it is to get big rappers in Kingston, I think the part we struggle with is that a lot of Kingston born and based rappers, we need to do our own shows, and to be able to headline our own stuff. And with locations closing like Blue Martini and The Mansion, and who knows what else next, that it makes it very difficult. Quite frankly speaking, it casts a shadow of doubt upon the local scene in terms of, do people want to stay here and be rappers? Do they, or would they rather go to Toronto or Montreal? And for me, my ideal future would be having Kingston as a home base that I can then branch out of. And I've always been someone, if I were to do anything with my music, it would be to inspire someone to be better than me. And I think the biggest thing is that in my ideal Kingston rap scene, it would be diverse. It would be, like we're doing with Port of Montreal, different subgenres of hip hop instead of just, very Kingston is very old school in its roots in all sorts of music. So I think that boom bap sound gets a lot of attention, but like there's so much that can happen with trap music and like trip hop and psychedelic rap. And there's just, it's a wellspring of creativity out there. And if there's anyone listening to this right now, the best thing I would say is just like, don't try to sound like someone else. Try to sound like yourself. And I think the more people we have who are committed to raising the scene in terms of, authenticity and, having these homegrown shows that aren't based off of out of town promoters coming in to get a quick buck or whatever. I think, like with what me and Nate do with Summer's End, where as much as we can, we try to keep it local, we try to keep it authentic, and you can't beat that. You really can't. So I think Kingston rap has been in a better place before in years past than it is now. I find it's tough for us to get that recognition. And there's so much that I could go into about it, but I think the best thing is for me to keep doing what makes me me. And, one of the few, if the only openly queer rappers in Kingston, that's huge in terms of, in rap, that's very rare, let alone the music industry in general. And so I think for me, all I would want to do is have people, whether they're, black, white, Asian, East Asian, anything, just to, straight, gay, cis, trans, just be themselves. And the success will come from that.
Nice. All right. Over to you, N98 Nathan. What are your thoughts on the local rap scene and where you're at in terms of the work and contributing to it?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I 100% agree with everything Jacques said. I think people need to be more authentic and true to themselves, and people get caught up kind of following trends and, scared to actually come out of their shell. And, that's why, kind of like he said, with Summer's End Society, our label, we're trying to build a community. And, we've been doing shows like Drop Zone and other types of shows, and we kind of infuse a lot of different genres and things, so it's kind of inclusive to everyone. We have Ricky Kakao, who does like electronic music, and then we'll get Wilhound and other DJs who do dance and, drum and bass and other genres like that. And I think it's good. People need to be. They got to stop being scared to try something different instead of sticking to something they were doing 20, 30, 40 years ago. And you got to kind of step outside of the box and, evolve with the time, with time as it goes, if that makes sense.
Fair enough. Yeah, for sure. All right. So, yeah, we've been talking a lot and a lot of great stuff from you guys, and a lot of great info and details and food for thought for everyone. But we still want to be able to listen to a couple of tracks before the end of the hour. But before we do that, dudes, you got a big album release party coming up on August 8th. Tell us more about this show and also who's involved. Over to you, Nathan.
We've done a lot. We've put a lot of work into this show and everything for the album, branding and staying on theme. Just recently, we started building some stage props, and we've done a lot of cool
Oh,
stuff.
fun.
Like we've got some walls that we're building, and we're gonna paint them and have them on theme. Jacques bought some pylons, construction cones that were brand new. They were beautiful. They were clean, and then he basically just beat the crap out of them, and we basically damaged them to make them look rough. He put stickers, we spray painted them. So we're trying to make the show we don't want it to be just a stage. We want it to be more, we want people to feel the energy of the actual album and feel like they're in that environment within the Broom Factory.
Nice. All right. So yes, setting the stage. Absolutely. Jacques, tell us a little bit more.
Yeah. So like Nate said, we've been busy trying to curate a lovely experience for all of our fans and people who might not know us. We happened to sell out our early bird tickets within the first couple weeks of tickets being available. Yeah. So it's we're really hoping for the best turnout possible. So we invite absolutely everyone to come on out and check us out. But let alone just us, we have just the most amazing talented people. Cacao, Ricky Brandt is running our sound for the evening, so he'll be our backing DJ. As well, we have DJ Zari, who is just the loveliest person to work with. She is a Afrobeat, R&B, hip-hop DJ who works a lot with like Third Space and different local organizations in Kingston who try to elevate the Black voices here in town. And so we originally brought her on, I believe, for our tour earlier this year for our Kingston stop. And because we have a lot of Caribbean influence, a lot of Afrobeat influence on our project, it was a no-brainer to get her along. As well, we have our friend Julius X from Pickering in the GTA area. He's gracious enough to come down. He is a R&B, Afro-pop infused artist from the GTA who works a lot with artists like Mercules. We met him last year, actually, opening for Mercules in Ottawa. And he is also featured on our project. And as well, we have some special guests joining us for the evening who are featured on our project and who may or may not be performing their verses from our songs as well. And it's just, we've been working so hard to get this to be a memorable experience. It's the day before my birthday. So, you know, it's also Nate's stepdad's birthday the day of. We're pulling all the stops. It's the biggest and best venue in town for an album we feel is deserving of such.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, so this is happening at Broom Factory on August 8th. How can people get tickets?
Well, they can look at some of the posters we have around town and scan the QR code. They can also look in our bios. We can probably plug our Instagrams a little bit later. But online right now, we have $15 tickets. They are $5 off the main door admission. So we have that going on. We also have a $45 merch package, which will get you a T-shirt of your choosing from Port of Montreal, as well as a D98 keychain with our logo on it. And those are almost out as well, so act fast. But if you're just looking to show up night of and get your tickets, it's $20 at the door. We take cash, debit, credit, e-transfer, trade your firstborn child, you know.
Okay. Well, yeah, maybe not the firstborn child. But
no, maybe not. We'll work our way up to person trading eventually.
Goodness me. Okay. All right. So, you mentioned, Instagram. So, Nathan, how can folks follow N98, D98, and how do we also follow Dupel as well? But how can we learn the latest news and concert dates from your collaborative work and individually? Nathan, over to you.
Yeah, so we post everything mainly on our D98 account, and that's just at D98 official on Instagram. If you want to find myself and see what I'm doing in production or anything else, yeah, okay, love it. Jacques, that's you. That's off to you.
Well, at Nate, like Nate said, D98 official on Instagram. You can find Nate at N98 Productions, I believe. And then myself, I am just at Jacques Dupel, J-A-C-Q-U-E-S-D-U-P-E-L. As well, you can follow us at Summer's End Official. We do a lot of our main stuff through the D98 account at the moment. But, if you want to see what Nate does in his personal life, go check him out. If you want to see my personal stuff, go check me out. And Summer's End is good because we do other shows that aren't necessarily D98 related. Some other big stuff that we have planned later this year, hint, hint, will be announced in a few weeks. So, go check us out. Link in bio for tickets and for links to listen to our music.
All right, guys. We are almost out of time. We had a really long and fruitful conversation here. We've got time for some great music coming up from the new album, Port of Montreal, coming up next. But, dudes, thank you so much for sitting down for this wonderful conversation. A lot of really great stuff learned from you today. Thank you so much for your valuable time and for sharing so much with us and our listeners here on CFRC and the Release Radar Rundown.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us.
Got 4 eyes to live in darkness. Black tea and I got it from Market. New girl wanna talk, I'm cautious. Paranoid, I've been going in raw. Down bad for the fishnet stockings. That ego boost got me nauseous. Hit the town with a migraine throbbing, watch this.
I got a penchant for good weed and oysters. I got a taste for house and bad choices.
I got some loops and late nights and basements. I need a cure and peace is my poison.
I've had dreams, I got drunk, I enjoyed it. I've been sober 3 years, Pink Floyd. Been so high, I started hearing new voices. The drinks calling, slide to the link balling. Classmate died, I'm at the sink balling. Boys doing coke, did it, I got FOMO. Everybody jaws be clenching in all the photos. I got a stunt to the max and quit stressing.
Obsessive compulsive, I'm flexing. State of disorder, whenever I'm popping in public, I'm restless. I can't assess it, it's gotta be perfect, no question.
Steady been hacking up tar, emptying all my heavy black heart. Deep in the dungeon, I practice my shooting. I grapple with shadows, it's just an illusion.
Steady been hacking up tar, emptying all my heavy black heart. Deep in the dungeon, I practice my shooting. I grapple with shadows, it's just an illusion.
Steady been hacking up tar, emptying all my heavy black heart. Deep in the dungeon, I practice my shooting. I grapple with shadows, it's just an illusion.
Steady been hacking up tar, emptying all my heavy black heart. Deep in the dungeon, I practice my shoes and I grapple with shadows, it's just an illusion.
Blink after blink, I'm about to fall over. Don't ask me to talk about car coaster. Part of me resents that I'm so good sober. Think I wanna fuck my life and start over. Fusion reactor, the solar contractor. Postmortem, I'm packed the whole show like it's lost. Heavy black cough, I've been the boss. Dropping on lungs while I'm breathing exhaust.
Even my corpse will shine like the sun. Planning my funeral, burn up the funds. Just a new future when I'm meditating. Gotta stay faded to keep me sedated. Tired of life, I swear that I hate it. When I'm too high, I still pray that I make it. Glorification, got nothing on stats. Dead or alive, I'm a number on graphs.
Who am I really? Who will I be? If I die sleeping, man, who will find me? Forcing my trauma on someone unlucky. But if I wake up, I run into oncoming.
Thank you. shots of Patron, left the soup on the stove, and I'm clean, live alone, case they run me of my gold, never leave within my soul, feel them pushing when I pull, try to get me when I'm low, scared of dreams that might unfold, I got money in my hand, I don't ever take a loan, made of metal rose gold, new Da Vinci two-tone, grab the safe and unload, when my circuitry explode, I'm a robot, I'm a robot, I'm a robot, I'm a robot, jumping with the co-pilot, mainframe gonna blow high, never let my soul stop, my watch got a slow clock, I'm a robot, I'm a robot, I'm a robot, I'm a robot, jumping with the co-pilot, mainframe gonna blow high, never let my soul stop, my watch got a slow clock, I'm a robot. Disconnect my skull from the chrome. Meds on the plate, I can't take no more. Flawed programming, never really had a home. Another fairy set, crash out, RAM's low. Motherboard virus, hereditary glitch. Ghost in the shell, cause I died as a kid. Can I weep? It's too late to get deep. I just wanna love my life again, y'all just want beats. I'm a robot, I'm a robot, I'm a robot, I'm a robot. Jumping with the co-pilot, mainframe gonna blow high. Never let my soul stop, my watch got a slow clock. I'm a robot.
Are you tired of your boring weekly routine? Are you looking for something to look forward to every Friday? Well, tune in to Circadian Rhythm on CFRC 101.9 Fridays at 2 p.m. for a fresh mix of songs that you'll want to keep on repeat. I'm your host, Justine, and I'll be putting together a music program that's broadly indie and alternative, but also spans diverse genres from pop to rock to folk and R&B. I've also got some fun themes up my sleeve. Once again, that's Circadian Rhythm, Fridays at 2 p.m. I hope I'll see you then.
Hey, 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 this is Disco Rick. We've got a brand new show, Dance Floor Dispatch. We're going to be playing all the best house, electronic, and obviously we're going to be playing some disco. It's every Saturday night at 10 p.m. Tune in at CFRC 101.9.
Your future starts now. Explore future career and educational opportunities at the Thursday, September 24th Career and Further Education Fair. Drop by the main gym of the Athletics and Recreation Center anytime between 10:30 a.m. and 3:30 p.m. Meet in person with employers and representatives from graduate and professional education programs. While you're there, get a free professional headshot at the LinkedIn photo booth. This event is open to all FIN students of all years.
This is Democracy Now!
People who get people like you and people of freedom that is third with justice. That's why I'm back. I owe this to my community.